The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So last week I gave a talk on the five hindrances, and the five hindrances are a list of five mental forces, psychological forces, that interfere with the process of meditation. And they could be said to interfere with all kinds of endeavors in our life. And many times if you want to do something, you can easily be derailed by the forces of desire sometimes, the forces of ill will or aversion, the forces of restlessness, of sloth, torpor, resistance, and of doubt. Today I want to talk about a different list of five, which are a list of five psychological forces that support meditation practice. And in fact, they support any endeavor, I think, that we want to engage in. So it applies to other things besides meditation. And this is a list called the five faculties. And in calling them faculties, it refers to capacities that our inner life, our mind has, that we can utilize or we can marshal together in such a way to support whatever endeavor we're engaged in. And so if we're engaged in meditation practice, the question is, how do these five faculties, their five capacities, they're there in the background anyway, how do we utilize these capacities of ours in such a way that supports the endeavor, the practice of meditation? So these five faculties, the list is often given sequentially, meaning that there's a way of understanding them that they build on each other to the final one. So the first one is usually translated into English as faith. The second is effort. The third is mindfulness. The fourth is concentration. And the fifth is wisdom. Occasionally you see some different translations into English of these things. And as I go through them, you'll hear maybe some synonyms for them. So if you don't like some of those English choices, some people don't like the word faith. And so the alternative that some people like to use is a conviction or confidence. And some people have less trouble by the word confidence or conviction, because faith suggests sometimes blind faith, naive faith. So in any endeavor that we're engaged in, it helps if we have some confidence, some trust, some faith that what we're doing can be done, that it's worthwhile to do, that we know how to do it enough, and that the results are worthwhile, and that faith that we can do it. So that you can maybe add that we also sometimes faith that we have the guides, the friends, support, the teachers around who can guide us as we do it. And that without some kind of confidence, there's many things in our life that we wouldn't accomplish. We wouldn't even start them. Many times we don't think that faith, the confidence, conviction is part of what we do, because it's just so second nature. We're so successful at doing it, we don't think about it. But if you're going to cook a meal, there has to be some confidence, some conviction, some faith that it's worthwhile to do, that you can do it, that you have the ingredients, you have the ability, that the outcome has a good chance of being successful. And if you have no faith that you can do it, maybe with cooking is not the best example, but certain things you do, if you have no faith, no confidence, it can derail you from what you want to do. My 14-year-old son at home is on his school's basketball team, and his confidence goes up and down, and it affects his game. And so I told him the other day that he mentioned this to me, and he said, you know, I should just kind of talk myself into, you know, being more, you know, confident. And I said, well, sometimes you can do that, but I said, if you can't do it, at least stop being critical of yourself. Stop doubting yourself. And that he seemed to like, the idea that he could stop something. That was more accessible to him, the idea that he could actually muster up some kind of change of mind, that he was a good player when he was missing all the shots. But in any case, in whatever we're doing, there has to be some confidence. So in terms of meditation practice, what are some of the things that we can have confidence in or have faith in? What is it that can help us so we can be heartfelt or give ourselves over in a wholehearted way to the endeavor of meditation practice? And this is an important question because many people find it hard to meditate. They have busy lives. There's a lot of other things pulling and tugging on them, even if they want to meditate. Or if they do meditate, there's still a lot of forces in life that are pulling and tugging us. So maybe you're not really meditating. You're sitting there, and then you're planning your meal or planning your basketball games or, you know, whatever that your mind kind of is caught up in. And so it helps to, so part of what, I like the word faith to translate this word, the ancient Indian word, sada, is that in my mind, faith has a heartfelt quality to it, that conviction doesn't, or confidence maybe has some of. But what is it that inspires? Is there inspiration, is there some kind of faith or trust that inspires you in what you're going to do? So for me, when I was a young meditator, I was very inspired by some of the other meditation students that I met. I was around them and there was a stillness in them, or there was a maturity in them, or there was some wisdom in them, or there was a peacefulness with them, or generosity. Very different people had different qualities that I very much associated with their meditation practice. And in particular, when I sat together with other people in the meditation hall, and I could see how some people sat. There was a stillness in their sitting, and I kind of feel a focus to what they were doing that was very, very meaningful for me to encounter and feel. That someone could be so poised, so collected, so centered in a beautiful and still way. And I remember like being in Japan, some of the images that I was in that also were kind of inspiring me this way was in the Japanese Zen monastery, sometimes we had to meditate optionally, kind of, in a required way, optionally required. Everyone had to do it, no choice, but it was optional. In the schedule, that's what it said. But way into the middle of the night, it was full moon, and we had to do it not in the meditation hall, but we had to do it on the engawa, on the outside walkway around the meditation hall, around the temple. And you know, it's kind of cold. This was November, I remember one time, and the Siberian wind were blowing in from the North Sea or whatever it's called, the Japanese Sea. But it was so pristinely beautiful because we're sitting on the edge of this walkway, wooden walkways, you know, and looking out across the Japanese rock garden that was the edge of the monastery. And with the moon coming up and the walls of the monastery around us. And that was, you know, pretty in the full moon shining down and 11 o'clock, midnight. And then seeing the other monks all in a row and seeing their poise and centeredness and their strength in just sitting there still. It was very meaningful for me. So there's many ways in which other people inspired me, gave me faith that this was worthwhile to do. And then there was also, I've received some of my faith for beginners, and maybe this doesn't work, but from seeing what the results have been for me. That seeing that by the practice is beneficial, that it has results, that as I meditate, I get more settled and calmer, I get more wise, I get more insight and see more deeply what's going on. That some of those qualities that I saw in others, I could touch into in myself, and that at times I could feel a poise, a centeredness, a calm, a stability, some inner strength, some inner joy that would arise in me. It doesn't always occur or happen for me as I meditate, but I've done this enough that it's okay if it doesn't happen on a sitting. because I have enough confidence in the overall process over time. And if it sometimes it doesn't happen, that's okay with me. But other times it happens in a very strong way. And it isn't that you know, just a very pleasant experience to be calm and centered. But there's something very, for me, very deeply satisfying about a process of becoming true. And I associate meditation practice or mindfulness meditation with a process of becoming true to oneself, of becoming true to what's to life or to the Dharma, or to being authentic, or discovering really what's here in me and letting it be expressed in some important way. And this idea of becoming true, even if I don't succeed in becoming true in some kind of quality way, I just find it so meaningful that I'm on a path of practice that leads to, or attempts to bring me to becoming true, to becoming authentic. And so that brings me a lot of faith, inspiration. Wow, I'm so lucky, I get to do this. And so when I sit down to meditate, I usually feel quite happy, even if I'm not feeling good otherwise, grumpy, not enough sleep. I said, wow, I get to try this. And that's very important for me because it, just the endeavor of doing it, I have faith in, separate from any success in doing it. So just, I'm so glad, even if I don't succeed in some conventional way, I'm just so glad I got to try. I got to try to be true. I got to try to be authentic, to wake up, to be free. I have a lot of confidence in the path of the practice. I have a lot of confidence that it's possible to become free. It's possible not to be caught in our attachments, caught in things we cling, caught by fear, caught in our preoccupations. And that I've seen how the path of meditation practice, is a very effective way of helping that process of becoming free. I've also seen how meditation practice is a very effective way of creating physical and mental well-being. You know, it's a way of not only kind of dissolving stress, but I firmly believe that meditation practice is very healing. And I kind of had this belief long before I started reading the newspaper reports where they report on these different studies. It seems like every few months there's a new study that comes out that says meditation is good for your health. When I was, 35 years ago, people weren't really doing medical studies on meditation. So, I didn't know the studies, but it just felt, you feel from the inside out, a sense of healing sometimes from just sitting poised and centered. So this idea of, do you have some confidence? Do you have some conviction, some sense of value, something you trust about the process of meditation? Do you have some faith about its value for you? Do you have some confidence in your ability to engage? And I offer that those to you as questions, not that they're supposed to be the right answer, yes, of course I do. Faith or confidence or conviction, trust, goes up and down. It's not like a constant. Now I got it, I got it made. But rather, as you meditate, as you engage in practice or try to engage in your busy life, it's useful from time to time to reflect. I have a capacity to be inspired. I have a capacity to have faith and trust, conviction. I have a capacity to be wholehearted in what I do. Do I have those qualities in relationship to my meditation practice? And then you ask that question, you say, I don't have that today. That's not what's going on for me. And then you say, that's interesting. What do I do now with seeing that? Maybe I'll meditate anyway, because I have some faith or I have some discipline that's useful. Or maybe I need to kind of figure out what happened to my confidence and faith. Have I just simply lost touch with it because I've been so busy running around doing different things? I'm so caught up in something. Or is there some way that I can remind myself of what I'm inspired by so that when I come sit and meditate, I come with a little bit sense of more of meaning, of value, of engagement? So it's possible to go and reflect on this and not simply take the level of faith or confidence that you have, But try to see, is there, you know, forcing yourself into some idea of what the faithful person looks like, is there some way of reflecting, of thinking, of doing a little Dharma reading, of thinking about what it's meant for you in the past, or what it might mean for you now, or some way of stepping back from the whole how you are to evoke or tap into a sense of inspiration, of faith, of confidence, when it's lacking. So that's one way of kind of sprucing up or kind of your meditation practice. It's also possible, they say, you can, if you check out this faculty of faith, probably it's harder to discern this, but it's possible to have too much, to have blind faith, to have over kind of be overly zealous, that lends itself to kind of a magical thinking, where I have so much faith in this meditation. Meditation is just the best and the greatest. And it's just like, it'll solve all my problems and all the world's problems. And if I just kind of, you know, sit there like a Buddha, I'll have it made. And then you sit there like just like a log on the edge of the, just sit there as an inert object. Because you have so much faith, there's no more effort to do anything, no wisdom, no intelligence being used in the practice. So it's possible to have too much. So the second faculty is a faculty of effort, of engagement. And it's obvious that we all have that capacity because we engage and put effort in all kinds of different things. If you, we make effort to cook a meal. We make an effort to drive our car, to come here. All of you made effort, some kind of effort, put energy and effort to come here. We're making effort all the time, and sometimes our effort is counterproductive. I've made effort, put my mental and physical effort into sometimes being self-critical or just being discouraged. And there have been a few times in my life where I've been very good at this. Very good at pouring in a lot of energy into, pouring it in until, as if it was really important. The most important thing to do was to put my precious little brain power to use to explain to myself why I'm discouraged or why I'm a failure or why I'm whatever. And so you're making effort. There's energy going into that kind of, so it's undermining ourselves. So the question here is, in this faculty of effort, of energy, how is it being used? What's happening with it when we sit down to meditate? Are we engaged in an effort that is what the purpose of meditation is about? Are we engaged in an effort that is helpful and useful? So one of the obvious things is that you're not meditating, but you're thinking about something completely different. And so that's where your effort goes. That's where your energy goes. I find it for myself helpful to occasionally reflect on that having effort and energy is a really precious thing. We have a relatively short time to be alive. This is our time. I love looking and thinking about people who lived long ago. Because, it kind of does a kind of thing in my brain where I kind of reflect, that was their time. And they had their time. And now it's gone for them. And now this is my time. And in a few years, it'll be gone. It'll be someone else's time. This is my time. It's to be conscious, to be awake, to be present, to make effort, to be engaged. And what do I want to do with this precious time, precious efforts that I have? Do I want, in meditation, for example, spend my effort and energy pursuing fantasies? Do I want to spend my time pursuing revenge? Do I want to spend my time planning meals or planning my schedule? What do I want to do with this effort? For me, when I reflect that way, sometimes it helps me kind of say, wait, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to think about all those things. I want to try to meditate. I want to try to corral myself, gather myself together, and have my mental effort and energy be directed to being awake to this precious life of being alive and present now, in this moment, in the lived present. So for me, that kind of reflection sometimes will help me be more here and present. And then as we make effort, there's all kinds of efforts to be made. And so a hugely interesting topic in meditation practice and in any spiritual practice at all is the topic of the quality of the effort we make. And the quality and the character of effort changes different times and different situations, and it's useful to track it. Sometimes effort needs to be very strong and disciplined. Sometimes there's powerful addictive forces in people's minds that you better not give into, because the consequences is really dire. And sometimes having real discipline for meditation or discipline in the mind to not give into those, not go in that direction in the mind, takes a lot of effort. Other times, making a lot of strong effort just keeps the mind agitated and helps you to spin out even more. And so the effort is not strong and disciplined, but the effort needs to be more relaxed. Soften the effort. Maybe make less effort. Do less. Maybe you're doing too much in meditation. So the teachings on effort then is relax. Relax, soften. Don't take so much responsibility. Sometimes what effort means is persistence. So it means that it means just hang in there and keep doing it. Keep making the effort over time. Don't let anything discourage you. An image that I like is the image of a boat moving through the water. And you keep the focus on the bow of the boat, and the bow just plows through the water, and the water just washes off the side of the hull, the boat, and it washes off and disappears in the back as the boat moves through the water. So that image for me in meditation sometimes, I just keep my attention, best I can, on my breath or on the present moment, and try to keep it there as if it's keeping the bow of the boat pointed in the direction, and let all the things that might arise, imagine just washing off the side. And so I might think about, making dinner or planning something, or I might remember something early in the day, or I might have some emotion comes up. And rather than getting involved in those, I just let them kind of wash by as I keep my focus. I keep the persistence of staying, being present, coming back, keeping it up. So that over time, the forces of distraction, the forces of preoccupation begin to relax. And sometimes it takes just keeping in there, staying there, keeping the course in practice. So what's the quality of your effort is part of the consideration when we evaluate how our practice is. The third faculty, a capacity that we all have, is a capacity for mindfulness, to be mindful, to be attentive, to notice what's going on. And so this is considered kind of like of the five faculties, the one that maintains the oversight over the others, because it's the one that recognizes the others, notices what the faith is, if there's a faith or confidence, notices the effort, notices concentration, notices what's the quality of the wisdom. The function of mindfulness is not only to keep us in the present moment, but be in the present moment to clearly recognize and monitor what's happening here in the present moment. If you recognize, if you hear and can really be present and see what's happening here, then we can monitor it, we can adjust it and do things for it. So you sit down to meditate, and I'm not really tracking what's going on. And it could be as simple as you feel like you have, after 20 minutes of meditation, you feel an ache in your back. And only then do you realize that you haven't had much mindfulness of your body as you're meditating, and you've actually been sitting, your posture has been quite poor and slumping, so of course your back's going to hurt. And so, maybe you need to be more attentive for your body, be more mindful here. It might be helpful to notice the quality of your emotional state, be mindful of that in the present moment. Because without being mindful of your emotional state, the emotions can cast a big shadow or big influence on how we are in the present moment, our relationship to what's happening. But if we can notice carefully what our emotions are, then they don't have to be kind of subconsciously influences can influence us. So, for example, if we feel grumpy or aversive, kind of irritable, and you sit down to meditate, if you don't really recognize the irritability that's here, then you might find yourself kind of regularly, constantly, kind of a little bit, you know, irritated with that breath and that in breath and the out breath and the fact that your mind wandered off, and everything's kind of like it's cast, it's kind of a, you have an aversive quality to it, and it kind of feels like a drag. But if you're mindful of what's going on and you open up to experience the field of your of what's happening, then you see I'm irritable today. Let me take that into account as I meditate, so that when I'm focusing on something, maybe I can let those thoughts or the aversive tendencies kind of fall to the background, not take them so seriously, not have them kind of unduly influence me. So it's possible to see in practice, what's the quality of my mindfulness? Is my mindfulness clear? Or is it kind of cloudy? Am I able to be mindful? Or does my mind wander off a lot? What's the quality of mindfulness? And some people, the meditation doesn't go well if they've had difficulty, because they actually find that they're not actually being very mindful. I've done that sometimes by getting somehow caught up with the idea that I'm supposed to get concentrated or wanting to get concentrated. And so I try to get concentrated in such a way that I narrow my focus of attention that precludes being mindful and tracking what's really going on for me in the present moment. And so I don't notice that I'm actually upset about something, or I'm actually striving or pushing, or that I'm maybe... sometimes that maybe I'm too relaxed. But part of the function of mindfulness is to open the field of awareness to track and notice what's happening here in the present moment. The fourth faculty is concentration. So it is an important aspect of this. And concentration has a number of meanings. The words samadhi. But I think one of the meanings that's very valuable for me is the idea of gathering together, of being collected, being unified, so that I'm not fragmented. It's very easy to be fragmented, to have many different thoughts and concerns and feelings going on almost at the same time. And so the mind is spinning out in all kinds of ways. Our wish is to be present in meditation, maybe focusing on the breath. That's the intention. The mind has a mind of its own. So the mind wants to think about what to have for dinner. But there's also the lingering idea, the argument we had earlier in the day. And that's still staying in my body, and it's still churning out thoughts of irritation and whatever. And so part of me is involved with the thoughts of the earlier in the day and the irritation. Part of me is thinking about dinner. Part of me is focusing on my hunger. And part of me is trying to meditate. And so there's too much going on. And so we're fragmented. Part of the function of concentration is not to hold the mind still on one object, but rather is to begin gathering together all the desperate or scattered forces within us so that they're all settled and focused here for the same purpose at the same time. So that when we sit down to meditate, not only are we intending to be present, but our thoughts, our thinking is focused on being present. Our emotional life, our physical life can be brought in. It's like drawing everything in, so that everything is involved in the same thing. So this idea of being centered, so we're all centered on here and what's happening now. I like the word centered because for me it has this feeling of sitting upright and being still and finding a place of rest deep down in my torso, kind of like the base, like the firm foundation, and then letting go and resting in that firm foundation as the place where I am. And I know that when I get scattered and I have a lot of thoughts and concerns, I'm not resting in myself. I'm not resting in my torso or in my base. I'm often up in my head, kind of, you know, the centrifugal force that's going spinning outwards. And so this idea of concentration being a composed centeredness, being composed in our experience here. So it's possible as we evaluate our practice to say, is there any concentration? Is there any composure? Am I centered? Of course the meditation is not going well because I'm not composed, I'm not centered. And so is it then possible to do some adjustment, to remind oneself, to find some way of settling, composing, gathering together to be here and now? So then the fifth faculty is wisdom. And now this is these are faculties, which means capacities or functionings of our mind, our inner life. So here, it's the faculty of wisdom, not the possession of wisdom. And the possession of wisdom would be, it's kind of like you have all kinds of knowledge. You know, like you've learned from, a lifetime of poor driving that it's not a good idea to drive at 90 miles an hour on the freeway. So you've learned that, and you become a wise driver, and you have this wisdom. Don't drive 90 miles an hour on the freeway. So that's, you possess wisdom. But the faculty of wisdom means that you use your discernment, you use your intelligence to read and measure and figure out what is needed in any situation. So if you're on the freeway, you're tracking the traffic and the conditions and yourself to say, what would be a safe way of driving in these conditions? You don't go on the freeway with a preconceived idea that this is how you drive. I drive at this speed, and invariably, and in this lane, nothing changes. I'm just, on cruise control. But rather, we keep our intelligence and our discernment, and we're making constant adjustments and changes. So the same thing with meditation. There's a time and place to use our intelligence in meditation. I know some meditators who check their intelligence at the door, and they don't use it when they meditate. They think they're not supposed to. Maybe they just too much faith. But the idea being that to some degree you want to use your powers of discernment, to try to understand what is it, what's needed right now? What do I need? What would be helpful right now? Would it be helpful for me to just hold my course on the breath and let everything else fall off, like the side of the hull? Would it be helpful for me not to focus on the breath, but to spend a little bit of time being mindful of my emotional state? Would it be helpful right now, I'm so spinning out in my thoughts and my concerns, maybe I need to do mindfulness of thinking for a little while and not just kind of blindly stay with the breath. I have so little energy as I'm meditating right now. I keep falling asleep and slumping. Maybe I need to bring more energy into my practice. So maybe I sit up straighter and find the different ways of bringing more effort and energy into it. Right now, I'm not very inspired. There's not much faith. I don't really believe in this meditation stuff. It's boring. And now Gil is talking about it for like 45 minutes, but all this stuff you can do and track, and it's so daunting and seems like so difficult and so much to keep track of. And now I'm completely lost my inspiration. and so you recognize that and say, okay, well, let's forget about what Gil said. Let me find what inspires me or what gives me confidence. And because that's what I need if I'm going to kind of settle in here and do it. So discernment has to do with tracking how it is and seeing what needs to adjust and what needs to be changed. One of the very important qualities of this discernment or this faculty of wisdom is to track itself. Because it's easy for some people for the discernment, the consideration, the reflection, what's needed right now, to end up being a lot of agitated thinking. Just thinking and thinking and wondering about what's going on and not really settling. And part of the function of mindfulness is to notice, the way I'm thinking about, the way I'm trying to understand or discern or adjust my practice, it's just keeping me spinning my wheels, or it's making me tense, or it's making me agitated. I think I better use less of this discernment for a while. I better relax. And part of the function of concentration is to relax. Concentration is meant to be something that's softening and relaxing. So then some people find it helpful to just go back. Let's go back and be concentrated. Let's just go back and be mindful without trying to do anything else but be mindful. Let's not make any adjustments. Other times you want to see, I need an adjustment here. I need to change what I focus my attention on. Or maybe I need to be much more disciplined and really kind of commit myself. I need more commitment. And so I need to be committed to the breath. And sometimes there are times when a strong commitment is what's needed to override the strong forces of distraction or preoccupation we have. So I offer these five faculties as ways that you can evaluate your own practice, the meditation practice. If you find it difficult to meditate because for whatever reason you can't seem to get to your meditation during the course of your day, and you keep trying but just can't do it, it might be interesting to step back and just kind of consider, maybe journal or talk with a friend, and go through. How is it with these five faculties for you? How do they operate for you in relationship to meditation? How do they operate in relationship to your life? Is there some way that you can use some of these five faculties as a way to help support you to get more involved in meditation? So, for example, I don't know if this is a good example. I apologize ahead of time. But I know people for whom being a little bit more discerning about how they use their time could help them find the time to meditate. So there are people who tell me, you know, I don't have any time, I'm very busy, and I do a lot of different things, and, you know, it's very important things, and how do I find time for meditation? And then I'll ask them, how much time do you spend watching television? And usually they get kind of a little bit shy then, because it's very quickly they realize that, I mean, that, you know, what some of the things they watch on television don't have that much value. And that the way maybe it helps you unwind, maybe it's not as high quality unwinding as can happen when you meditate. Some people are addicted to, you know, TV. So discernment would tell you, to be more discerning would be, you know, I need to maybe make an adjustment in my life and drop something. And maybe that's what I can drop, is watching so much television or, you know, doing so much computer time or playing solitaire on my iPad. Whatever it might be. Or perhaps you find that energy is the issue. You don't have enough energy. You find yourself lagging in energy over and over and over again. And perhaps you need to consider in a more global scale, why is it you're always dragging? Why is there so little energy that you have? What's going on for you? Is there some adjustments you can make in your life? So if you have trouble getting to meditation, maybe there's a way of looking at these five faculties that might be supportive of you if what you want to do is meditate regularly. If you do meditate regularly, from time to time, you might step back, either in meditation, in a sense, or outside of meditation, and reflect a little bit, how do these five faculties operate for me when I meditate? What is my faith? What is my effort like? I've been embarrassed or noticed sometimes after the end of the meditation that I've sat to realize, only then realize, boy, I hardly made any effort at all. My effort was like really not there because I had important things to, you know, think about. Or, you know, I wasn't really that motivated and I was just drifting off in fantasy, important fantasies. And I wasn't really making effort and I could have easily have just, you know, made it attune my effort and made a little more effort. So in meditation, for your meditation, when you're tracking it, and occasionally it's good to evaluate. And these five faculties are a way to evaluate. And perhaps by doing that, you can maybe make some adjustments and find that it supports your meditation practice so that your own inner experience could be that, be something that inspires you and gives you faith or conviction that sitting, being centered, being still, being calm, being collected, being strong, being centered is a beautiful and a valuable thing to do with your time. So I wish you well with that. I hope it gave you something to think about and explore. And so thank you.